Okay? What would I do without Mark? I'm serious, man. Guy's been good to me. All right. He's been better than good. But anyways, that's a subject in and of itself right there. But we'll go to Proverbs 29. And boy, this verse, for many years, pretty well describes me. And I'm going to use this verse to jumpstart this somewhat controversial, somewhat very touchy subject that I have never in my life heard a grace preacher, or any preacher for that matter. Of course, I haven't heard everybody. I've never heard anybody talk about this. And this is something that bothered me for a long time. And I don't like being bothered. But anyways, Proverbs 29 here says, let me get here. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 11 says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards." You see, I got a big mouth. And a lot of times when I hear information or digest information, I get excited. It comes out. And years ago, does this work, by the way? Okay, it's a good one. Years ago, I heard teaching on eldership. And the more I heard, the more I embraced it and began to love it and was excited about it. And I was so excited, I don't remember exactly where I was. But I was in the men's bathroom. See, I told you I'm not gay. I was in the men's bathroom, and I said to somebody, because a light came on. Every once in a while, there's a little light come on in your little brain. You might have a much bigger brain than I, but in my little bitty brain, lights come on, and it's like after listening to so much of the eldership teaching, I said to somebody, and it may have been Mark. I can't remember who I said it to, but I said, you know, with eldership, there's no point in paying a pastor. Whoa! Did I ever get a grace preacher overheard me? And he said, oh, and I got corrected. I got corrected like right then and there. And he said, oh, now wait a minute. You can't give yourself wholly to the ministry and have a full-time job. You just can't do that. And I didn't say anything because that bothered me for years and years and years. And so the subject today is going to be, I might have to write over there, paying the pastor. Paying the pastor. I'm out of the closet. I do not scripturally, biblically believe in paying the pastor. So I'm going to tell you right off the bat. Now, you better have a lot of verses. You better have a lot of verses, Mr. Hoover, to demonstrate that, or you might be in a lot of trouble. I'm sure if there's any preachers listening today, right now, they're not going to be happy. Well, first of all, the word pastor in the New Testament never appears. You won't find it. Matter of fact, it only appears one time, and it's plural. Pastors. Let's go there. No, let's. I'm jumping ahead a little bit. Let's go back to 1 Timothy. I'm sorry. See, I'm getting excited and I'm jumping ahead. Let's go to 1 Timothy 4. Here is the verse this grace pastor told me. Here it is, Del. It's demonstrated for you. Well, for years this bothered me, and I couldn't talk to anybody about it except, of course, Cheryl. Talked a little bit to Mom and a little bit to Mark, but not to the extent we're going to here this morning. Here's the verses he used. Starting with verse 13. 1 Timothy 4, verse 13. Till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation to doctrine. Neglect not the gift. That might be a little key. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. That thy profiting may appear unto all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Well, now, I've read that verse many times, and I don't see where Paul is telling Timothy, you forbear working, you don't take a full-time job, and you fully give yourself to the ministry. I don't see that. Now, clearly, Timothy was to give himself wholly unto truth. There's no doubt about that. Truth. Why? Because truth cancels out this right here. And from start to finish, from 1 Timothy to the end of Timothy, that's what Paul tells him. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went unto Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Paul tells Timothy, stay with the doctrine. That'll eliminate fables from coming in. Now, he starts with that and he ends with that. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Paul told Tim, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, which is the truth. For the time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned into fables. From start to finish, Timothy is warned about standing for the doctrine and the truth, because that'll take care of the fables that'll come along. So, but Paul, matter of fact, Paul is going to instruct Timothy just the opposite. He's not saying, Timothy, you forbear getting a job, you forbear working and get into full-time ministry. Paul tells him exactly the opposite, and we will demonstrate that as time goes on. Now, like I said earlier when I was jumping ahead of myself, this right here, of course, never appears in Paul's. Matter of fact, it only appears one time in the Bible. And we're going to look at that later on. But this never appears in Paul's epistles, this word pastor. Matter of fact, I'm going to do it right now. Hope you don't mind. They don't exist. They don't exist. And we're going to demonstrate that real clearly. Stay with me. Please stay with me. I'm taking you on a journey. Pastor does not exist. Get rid of it. Now, go to the only place where Paul talks about it. Go to Ephesians 4. That's the only place you'll find it. Looking like this. Pastors. Ephesians chapter 4, notice verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He gave some. Gave is past tense. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till. He gives these till. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That's important. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We today, those were gifts. apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, they were gifts until we had the completed Word. It's the Word that makes us, it freely furnishes us unto all good works and makes us perfect unto the fullness and stature of Christ, because it is Christ. That's how we get our perfection today, through the Word, not through the gifts of these different men. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Like I said, stay with me. I will clearly demonstrate this does not exist today. Doesn't exist. No. Clearly, we can show that without there's oh my. You just wait. 1 Corinthians 13, notice verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When the Word of God was completed, when it was perfected, all the gifts were done away, including the gifts of the pastors. Done away. Now, I'm going to write something up. Well, not quite yet. I'm getting Mark, you're going to like this, by the way. I think Dave and I think we all like this. But let's not, I keep getting ahead of myself. Now, I said this word pastors is used also, of course, in the New Testament. But not in a very good light. Not in a very good light. Israel, of course, had pastors. And of course, all a pastor was a shepherd. Shepherd of the flock. Now, look at Jeremiah chapter 10. It's not going to get very pretty here, but it is what it is. And I am not saying today that there aren't so-called pastors that aren't good men. I'm not saying that, but I know in the nation of Israel, it wasn't so good. Obviously, of course, the nation fell. We know that. Go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Like I said, bear with me. We're going to get to the bottom of this here shortly. We're gonna be tying several rags on the bush, as Richard Jordan would say. All right. Notice Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish. They have not sought the Lord. Therefore shall they not prosper. All their flocks shall be scattered. Not a lot of good things to say about the pastors in the nation of Israel. Jump to chapter 12. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 10. Jeremiah writes, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They, of course the pastors, have made it desolate. And being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. Wow. Not a lot of good things to say about the pastors and the nation of Israel. Let's continue on. Go to chapter 23. Then I'm going to write a statement up here. And I think it's true. Not because I wrote it. It just is what it is. Now, Jeremiah chapter 22. I'm starting to get excited and I'm starting to get built up here, because this is really going to get amazing. Really going to get good. Jeremiah chapter 23. Notice verse 1. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. Wow. Now, the only time I know in the Old Testament this word pastor is found right here in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is the pastor chapter of the pastor book. Go to Jeremiah chapter 17. Wow, this is really cool here. Jeremiah chapter 17. By the way, can you tell I've kind of spent some time on this subject? Oh, we're just getting warmed up. I've spent years and years and years studying this. And this is the perfect time, this is the perfect place to do it. This is a perfect place to do this. All right, now, Jeremiah chapter 17, notice verse 16. As for me, that is Jeremiah, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired a willful day, thou knowest. That which came out of my lips was right before me. Jeremiah considered him a pastor, to himself to be a pastor. But notice something else about Jeremiah. Go back to Jeremiah chapter 1. What else do we know about Jeremiah? Well, I'll tell you right here real quick. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, that is Jeremiah, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet. He was a pastor and he was a prophet. We no longer today have either one. There are no pastors and there are certainly no prophets today. They are gone. We have the completed Word of God to stand perfect before our Savior. Now, so, with that in mind, I'm going to write a little statement that I know Mark's going to get a kick out of. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. The pastorship will kill this right here. Guaranteed. Pastorship. One guy will kill eldership. By the same token, eldership will kill. That's not a very nice word, is it? But we're going to write it up there anyhow. You know I'm not going to. I don't mean anything by it. Pastorship will, eldership will kill the pastorship. It's true. It is absolutely true. Not because I wrote it, because it is what it is. This right here will kill this. This right here will take the one-man show and just boot it out. Now, all right, with that in mind, let's go back to the text that this grace preacher corrected me on. All right, now, am I saying that I don't need correction? Well, of course. I make mistakes like everybody else. But not this time. Not this time. This guy's getting corrected. I don't care. I don't care what he calls himself. That doesn't matter to me. Now, I told you. He told me that the Scriptures teach that you can't take a full-time job because you can't give yourself wholly unto the gospel. That's what he told me. Was you there? Or was somebody, it might have been Jerry, or somebody. Somebody was with me because I was so excited and I thought, well, heck, you don't need to pay anybody. And of course you don't. Now, but anyways, we're going to see why. But here in the very next chapter, of this passage that he gave me, Paul writes in verse 8, he says, and this is all on conduct and how to, you know, to conduct yourself as a believer and as a citizen, Paul says in verse 8, but if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, that is going to become so critical, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. That word, any, that is a sweet little word. Doesn't Paul say in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature? If any man... Now, was Paul excluding anybody? Was Paul saying, this guy could be in Christ, but he's not saved? No, Paul said, if any... That is an all-exclusive word. It means indefinite number plurality. If any man be in Christ, Paul's not excluding anybody. Also in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, we are saved by grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Do we have a little exception where somebody can boast? No. No, Paul said, lest any man should boast. And Paul says, if any, provide not for his own. That's important. If this verse was just a one-time verse, then maybe I wouldn't have anything to hang my hat on. But it comes up again and again. If any provide not for his own, what does it say? Especially for those of his what? His own what? House. Interesting. He's denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Wow. That's pretty strong to me. Now, listen, I haven't got to the powerful verses yet. We're gonna hit one right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 really tied the rag on the bush for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And believe it or not, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, I have heard with my own ears a chapter used to demonstrate that we should be paying the pastor. That couldn't be further from the truth. Further from the truth. Just the complete opposite. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 3. I told you, you never heard a message like this. And it is what it is. Paul said, my answer to them that do examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only in Barnabas, have we not power to what? Forbear working? Don't we have the power not to have a full-time job? Don't we have that power? Let's continue to read. You've got to read the chapter. And most preachers, if not all preachers that I've ever heard, stop at the end of verse 11. Anyways, we're going to keep reading. We're going to read. That's how you learn, by reading. Who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or, verse 7, or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written. I wonder where it's written. It is written in the law of Moses. Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that plows should plow in hope, and he that threshes in hope should be the partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we reap your carnal things? And of course, the answer would be, no, it wouldn't be a great thing if Paul reaped their carnal things. But we're not done reading yet, are we? No, we're not. The verses continue, and we surely will continue. We have the liberty to do that. All right, verse 12. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Then comes this beautiful, beautiful word, nevertheless. What does that word mean? That word nevertheless means without regarding it, without being prevented. I'll give you a little example. Last year, my brother-in-law, Joe Tittle, and I made our annual pilgrimage up the mountains in Clearfield County to hunt deer. And last year, the first day of archery in the rut, it was horribly windy. Horribly windy. Nevertheless, Joe and I hunted. Despite that wind, and should have never went. I missed a big buck. I mean, it was windy. I was on the ground. It was terrible. Really shouldn't have been out. Nevertheless, despite the wind. The wind did not prevent us from hunting. We didn't regard it. We were up there in our tree stands. You know, we didn't regard the wind. Paul said, nevertheless, we have not used this power. From verse 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, all the way up to verse, nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, have I lost it? You tell me. Did Paul consider working as a hindrance to the gospel? Yes, he did. Because Paul said, I'm going to suffer all things, lest I should hinder the gospel. Now, how would Paul, forbearing working, not taking a full-time job, but giving himself solely to the ministry, how would that hinder the gospel of Christ? Wouldn't you think if Paul didn't have to go to work, he could spend all his time in the ministry and the gospel would be even better? How does that hinder the gospel of Christ? We're going to get into that later. Now, by the way, this is not an exhaustive study on paying the pastor. It's not exhaustive. I've just tried to hit some highlights. There is more to come. There's more to come. All right. Now, let's go to verse 13. Oh, boy. Unreal. Paul says, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? We're going to get to a verse I have never heard a preacher talk about. Ever. Why would he? But anyways, Paul said, even though, verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Nevertheless, but, yes, this has taken place, but it ain't me. It's not your apostle. I'm not doing it. Neither have we written these things that it should be done so unto me. I'm not writing these things so you'll start supporting me. Paul never said that it should be done so unto me. For it were better for me to die than any man should make my glorying void. We know Paul gloried in the cross. He gloried in nothing else. Paul said, you're not going to take away my glorying. No. For, verse 16, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 18, I've never heard a preacher talk about. Ever. And I've been in the grace movement for a long time. 40-some years. Almost 50 years. Never heard a grace preacher talk about verse 18. Paul says, for what is my reward then? Verily, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ, what's his last two words? Without charge. What does that word charge mean? It's an expense. Paul said, when I preach, I want the gospel to be without expense. Wow. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul said, there's other people taking advantage. Not me. I'm not going to abuse my... And for good reason, Paul, we're going to get into that. We're going to get into that as we shall see. That word forbear means to stop, to cease, to abstain. There are people out there who tell you, that preacher has got to stop and cease and abstain from working to devote himself to full time. That's the pastorship. Eldership says something completely different. Completely different. We're going to look at that real soon. All right. By the way, verse 9 is interesting because that verse, oh really? That was written. That verse there in verse 9 is
of Moses.
They don't know anything about the law of Moses.
Moses.
Don't. And by the word also comes from Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 5. Read it. Ever read the chapter? It has nothing in it. Nothing. They come.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yep.
8 years.
Why?
Let's go and find out. Why don't they believe? Even though it might not be river, and I care about the very ones.
Why not? Elders.
All of elders. You ever talk about pastor?
No. Pastor. No.
I pray mercy and peace, Father, and from the Lord your Savior. God, I love you. You're right in the moment.
Forever.
As I appoint or ordain simply, you think men have the effects. If be blamed, husband have faith that you're not for a woman.
That will soon hear.
For a bishop, be blamed as a steward of God, not even the holding faithful to see them that I said. Both told any sinners.
Let's go. First three.
What is it? How are you going to provide for your own house?
Jesus. No, God, don't do that.
Timothy chapter 1st this is a tremendous word. In this. Office.
I don't. That is, I don't.
But there's in this.
Never.
Now let's continue to understand business.
That's what this one.
And in one life, verbal, given to the action of truth. To teach.
No, sir.
Not greedy of. Interesting. Not greedy of filthy lucre. Wow, interesting, Paul. Interesting. I wonder where he's going. But patient. Not one that built his own house. His own. I would mean. I'm making sure his house has sound doctrine.
Yeah.
He should be. If he's an elder, yes, he should be. But I would also start,
and we keep away with me, very few
will have out of what happens. Don't take the foundation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and snare the devil. Now, Paul's going to get into now talking about the deacons. Amazing! Amazing. He's going to say essentially the same things about deacons. Let's just jump down to verse 12. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Very interesting. Very interesting to me. Now, these are the qualifications of an elder or a bishop. You never see in Scripture, well, where's the qualifications of a pastor? You won't find them. They're not there. Don't waste your time on them. Now, let's go to the other passage that's used to pay in a preacher or a pastor. It's found in 1 Timothy 5. I've heard this used. I don't believe it. I just simply don't believe it. And I'm going to tell you why. Look here. This is also used. Verse 17 and 18 has been used to demonstrate that you pay a pastor. I throw it out. I don't agree with it. Why? Because I've studied the Word of God. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, Paul says, let the elders that, what? Will, what? Didn't Paul talk about something about ruling well their own house? How do you rule well a house? You provide for your own. Oh, yeah. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of what? Double honor. Now, come on, let's get realistic. Did that ever make sense to you that pastors should be paid doubly? That never added up to me. That never, and I'm a little bit of a numbers man, that never added up to me. Paul is talking about, he's talking about this right here, because then Paul says, especially they, that what? Who labor in word and doctrine. They should be taking care of their own house. Especially these guys right here. Really? See, it's just the opposite. You would think,
No, it's just completely the opposite.
And yeah, that's really the way religion works. Religion usually has things totally messed up and just totally flipped.
Well, okay.
Oh my goodness! There it is! The very next verse!
Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, the labor is worthy of his reward.
How do I know Paul's talking about when he says let the elders that rule well be talking about physical, not ruling well in the church? Because in the very next verse, Paul uses a physical verse that was used back in Deuteronomy chapter 25. He's not spiritually saying you should forbear working and you know, he's not saying that at all. He's saying you should be providing for your own house, you should be ruling well your own house, especially you guys right here.
Really? Especially? We're gonna find out why.
Why should you be doing that and not,
well, believe me, it'll all come together, believe me. I've studied this for years. Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Here we go.
Woo! It's good. Even as early as Acts,
you see this. Even as early as Acts. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then we're going to say something about this. And this. Love that verse. Now, here we go. Acts chapter 20. Who is Paul talking to here in Acts chapter 20?
They don't exist. He's not talking to them. He's talking to these guys right here. The elders. How do I know that? Well, let's just look at verse 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. I want to talk to you boys. I got something to say to you. Notice what he says. Notice what you've got to read the verses. That's how you know. Verse 32. And now, brethren, he's talking to the elders, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul didn't do that. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands... Paul's in the physical flesh now. You know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities. Does Paul stop there? He says, and to them that were with me. I wonder if that could be the double honor. Paul supported himself. Paul even supported people that... That is something you never hear a pastor do. I'm going to support myself and support somebody else. You'll never hear a preacher say that. You'll never hear a preacher say that. Trust me, you're just not going to hear it. Why would you bite the hand that feeds? You're not going to hear that. Well, it doesn't matter to me. It just doesn't matter. Are you ready now? Verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring... He's not talking about laboring and doctrine. He's saying how that laboring, that's what that is. That's a dirty word that nobody likes, but especially today when you can be collecting an unemployment check. But anyways, that's another issue. How that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said is more blessed to give than to receive. You see, in grace, it's all about giving. It's not about... Not about that at all. Not about that at all. You can't find it. Now, did Paul work? Well, of course he did. But it's a little more than that. Go to chapter 18. And we're about done because I'm just about out of gas. And I was going to bring a bottle of water, and I forgot it. I had it in the freezer; it would have been good. But no. You just sit down, and you'll be okay. You got to hear this. This really gets good. This really gets good. I am so convinced that this is erroneous. It's not even close. It's not even close. Paul, we know in chapter 18, verse 3, it says, "And because he," that is Aquila and Priscilla, "and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them," that is Paul, "he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation," they were tempting me. Paul had an occupation, and, excuse me, that word craft, what does that word craft mean? Skill. Paul had a skill. It took a certain skill to make tents, believe it or not. Paul had a skill. Oh my goodness, Paul, what are you doing working? And of course, I heard the argument, Paul had to work because they weren't supporting him full time. No, Paul worked because he wanted to work. That's why he worked. He worked because he wanted to work. Because he didn't want anybody making the gospel void. I'm telling you, I'm going to get to it shortly here. Stay with me. Now, here we go. Here comes the hammer now. Boom, boom. Here comes the hammer. 1 Thessalonians 4. Like I said, if you had an isolated verse that you're going to stand on, maybe not so much. Maybe not so much. You know. But if you've got verses, it's all good. It's good. This is real good. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And then I'm gonna have to make some comments because I don't want anybody to be misled. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is the model church. Paul's speaking to the model church, he's not speaking to Corinth, he's speaking to the top church in the region. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, notice what he says in verse 9. "But as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Indeed, you do it towards all the brethren which are in Macedonia, but we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands." That's physical. That's physical. It's not spiritual. "That you work with your own hands as we sounds to me like Paul is commanding this. But I could be wrong. No, I'm not, because this is not one of those isolated verses that I'm hanging my hat on. Oh no. Paul said, I've already told you, I've already instructed the elders to rule well and to take care of their own house, because if they can't do that, how are they going to take care of the church? "That you study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly towards them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing." Now, here's my powerhouse verse. This, I've got plenty of verses, but to me, this is the knockout punch. 2 Thessalonians 3. How anybody can skate around these verses, I have no idea. I have no idea how you skate around these verses. No, you're not going to skate around these verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, notice verse 6. "Now we commend you, brethren," like I said, he's talking to the model church, not Corinth. "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which ye have received of us." Oh, okay. "For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us. For we have behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor. He's not talking about spiritual. He's talking about that we've labored and travail night and day that we may not be chargeable. Well, where have we heard that before? That we might not be chargeable to any of you. Paul, all of you, I'm not chargeable to you. Not because we have not power. Does that sound like 1 Corinthians 9? Sure does. Not isolated verses. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Follow me, Paul says. Several times he says that. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if what? Any. If. Now, does that exclude this? Would that exclude these people? Where? Show me where. Paul says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. I rest my case. I could be done, but I'm not. I could be done. Let's read on. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly. Paul said, I didn't come among you walking disorderly, but Paul said, I heard there's some people walking disorderly. You know how they're walking disorderly? They're busybodies and they're not working. That's how it is. Oh, gee, that's what the verse says. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. See, if you're not productive, then you're going to be a busybody. It's not rocket science. Verse 12. Now them that are such we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Some power there. That with quietness they... Oh my goodness, there's that evil little word again. That with kindness they work and eat their own bread. Fascinating, fascinating. Now we're not done. We're not done. Now, of course, I'm kind of painting the pastors in a bad light, am I not? And like I said, there are good men out there with good intentions that think that they have the gift of pastor, and I'm sure they're honest people, but they haven't obviously had, either they haven't studied Paul's epistles or ignore it. I don't know. Let's go to Micah. Ooh, Dale, you really want to use this verse? Yeah, I guess. Micah. Ooh, it's a negative sense there, Dale. Well, I'm just reading the verses. M-I-C-A-H. Micah. Verse chapter 3. Ooh! Some bad dudes in the nation of Israel, weren't there? There were a lot of bad pastors. Micah chapter 3, verse 11. The heads thereof judge for reward, the priests thereof teach for hire. And the prophets divine thereof for money. Yet will they lean upon the Lord and say, is not the Lord among us? None evil can come upon us. This idea of paying someone is as old as the hills. And like I said, this is not an exhaustive study. We can look back in the Old Testament of a person who actually paid somebody on the side. We're not going to get into that this morning. I'm just giving you some highlights here. We're going to close with Romans chapter 13. I'm going to tell you why these dudes down here should be doing this right here. We're going to tie the rag on the bush. Go to Romans chapter 13. Fascinating to me. Fascinating. Right there it is. All right. Did I say Romans chapter 13? That's what I mean. Wow. Notice verse 8. Paul says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Owe no man anything. You see what the problem is with this right here? Let me tell you what the major problem is. If this dude and his congregation have people that are shelling out some big bucks, this right here could be compromised, couldn't it? Oh yeah. Do you think somebody in a denomination is ever going to teach this? They're not going to have a job very long. They're going to get the boot. Paul said, these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. You're not taking my glory. You're not taking my glory from me. My glory's in the cross. No. Now, Paul never compromised the doctrine because he never had to. Now, like I said, there's more. What about the times when Paul was getting some things? Well, that's pretty simple. Pretty hard to work. Do you ever notice how hard it is to work when you're in shackles? Paul's in prison. How much work do you think he's going to get done? There's reasons for everything. But anyways, like I said, this is not an exhaustive study, but I guarantee you one thing. This man here is convinced that the idea of paying a pastor is bogus. You'll never find, I challenge you. Do you like challenges, by the way? I do. I spent 5 years in martial arts, got challenged for 5 years. I challenge you to find me a verse in Scripture. Give me an example where a pastor is being paid full time. You'll never find it. Now, is that to say you can't start a church and build it up and get paid $1,000 a week and have 4 weeks paid vacation and have a Christmas club and all that? Hey, good for you. But don't tell me you've got verses for that. If you can pull that off, go for it. But you won't find it in the Word of God. And you're not gonna convince me that you do. If you do, show me the verses. Where are they? Show me them. Give me an example. I'll save you a little bit of time. You can do something else worthwhile. You won't find them. All right. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you for the system you have in place, the system of eldership. Father, we understand very clearly that we are responsible for providing for our own, those of our own house, Father. And we're also responsible for your Word to be able to use it to convince the gainsayers and use it to take care of the church of God. And that's what elders do. They are overseers of the church of God. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you once again for your beautiful Word. In Jesus' name, amen.